Hi, I'm Sky Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
We've got Robert Crane.
In 3, 2, 1.
He's a Microsoft MVP, a Microsoft
certified trainer,
an Office 365
specialist, blogger, podcaster, social media enthusiast, and one-of-a-kind speaker who has a gift for explaining tech to the average person so they can understand it.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
There's also myself, Mark Keane. All right, let's move on. I'm the voiceover guy, producer of this podcast, blogger, speaker,
an Azure
architect,
and Microsoft
MVP who specializes in helping people with a journey to Microsoft Azure. You are listening to the
Need to Know podcast.
It's your source for the very latest in Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations all about Azure and Office 365.
Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong, and you are listening to the Need to Know podcast.
And we're here again for another Need to Know podcast. Myself, Robert Crane, and Mark Keane. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Rob. It's episode number 145, and we're here for another week.
Yep, again, lots of stuff been happening, and we'll keep you up to date. We thank everybody for their feedback. Been getting some good reviews on the new intro from people. Still catching up on some episodes there from our Ignite Blast that we pumped out recently. If you missed, just make sure you go back and listen to all those interesting people and interesting options. Microsoft Ignite Australia obviously now is complete, but all the recordings are up for review, and we recommend that you go and take a look. And that's one of the great things about Ignite is all the sessions are recorded. So even if you couldn't make it, you're still able to.
There's also a PowerShell script, isn't there, to download. So we can, on a previous podcast, we sort of talked about that. The person that wrote those PowerShell scripts for the other Ignite sessions basically did the same thing for Ignite in Australia. So they just modified the script. It just talks to the URL and grabs all the sessions. So you can run that PowerShell script and download all the sessions completely, like videos and slides, to your computer to make it.
Yeah, I don't
easier.
Think we included that in the show notes, because I did have someone bring that up to me. So we probably need to make sure that we do include that in the show notes so that people can run the script and capture all the information offline and then look at it at their leisure. But certainly that is available for the US Ignite ones. I have seen the Australian ones, so we will remember to put that in for people to pull that information down. Seems so long ago that you were up on the Gold Coast taking it all in, Mark.
It's, yeah, I'm just looking through. Pretty sure I put it in my blog post, one of the links in the show notes, so we can make a more of a clear link to it.
Yeah, we probably just need to put it in the actual notes, which we'll do for people. So just pull that out, and we'll make sure that goes in the show notes so that people do have direct access to it without necessarily having to go in and read about all this Azure stuff. And speaking of all this Azure stuff, why don't you kick us off with the Azure news?
Well, yeah, it's been fairly quiet this week. Hasn't been too much news happening of late. There's been a lot of news come out in the open source community, although there's been one fairly large news item that's come out for the IT Pro side of things. And that is new storage-optimized virtual machines have been released. It's the new L series. So Microsoft have released the new series of these virtual machine sizes. The L series for storage optimizes workloads that require low latency, such as NoSQL databases, e.g. Cassandra, MongoDB, Cloudera, or Redis. The new series of VMs offers up to 32 CPU cores using the Intel Xeon processor E5 V3 family, similar to the CPU performance of the G series that is currently available. The L series offers four new VM sizes from four cores, 32 gigs of memory, and 678 gigs for a fast local SSD. Whopping, huge, scaling up to 32 cores with 256 gigabytes of memory and over 5.6 terabytes of local SSD. There you go. Set that up and watch the meter spin and see how fast your credit card gets maxed out.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? It's, again, upwards and upwards, lots and lots of options there. And I think that, obviously, as they add more powerful resources, the A series and that get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So I think there's a balance there, but I think at the end of the day, gives you that flexibility. Some people do need those sort of power, that sort of premium option, but again, don't overlook the fact that there are some very, very cost-effective options in there that can certainly get you started and, again, make life a lot simpler, I think.
Exactly. Other news, DocumentDB API for MongoDB is now generally available. So they're bringing out a whole bunch of these APIs for MongoDB. The API for MongoDB allows developers to experience the power of the DocumentDB database engine with the comfort of a managed service and the familiarity of the MongoDB's SDK and tools. With this announcement of the general availability, Microsoft are introducing a suite of new features for improvements in availability, scalability, and usability of the service. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Excellent. All right, well, let me throw you some Office 365 news, and the news has been all about the Microsoft Teams basically going to full release. That means that it's now available in tenants. There's a tile in everybody's tenant that qualifies to get Teams. That means people are clicking on it, people are creating Teams, and there's certainly a lot of chatter around the channels about the benefits and the usages of Microsoft Teams. So Microsoft call this their chat-based collaboration, and again, the idea here is a sort of a layer, I suppose, on top of things like SharePoint Online, Exchange, Planner. So you create a team, you get all of those options built in automatically, plus you get the ability to chat with your cohorts and run everything from an app. So probably the biggest or the easiest way for people to understand what's going on, get access to the resources, Microsoft have created a website called successwithteams.com. So successwithteams.com, and that has a lot of training. It also has a bandwidth calculator, so you can sit down there and work out how much bandwidth all of this is going to potentially consume on in your environment. So again, really, really handy little option. But again, at the moment, in Office 365 world, it's all about Microsoft Teams.
So I saw in Twitter just recently, there was a tweet that Dux Raymond, a previous guest, stuck up with the actual team from Microsoft Teams in Seattle. And they were having a party, like a celebration, because as you mentioned, Rob, last week or last time on the podcast, last episode, we talked about Teams, the official release. So do you want to quickly talk about that?
Yeah, so again, the idea here is this is a product that has been in preview or has been in testing probably since about October. It hadn't been revealed, I suppose, to the average user, but now that has gone available. And what it means is that this is basically a tool that allows users to vision collaboration workspaces for themselves directly. All they need to do is to name their team, and then they get the resources like a SharePoint team site, a planner, a email list, shared calendar, all that sort of stuff. So Teams is technology built on the Microsoft Groups, and it basically provides a group of people the resources they need to get their work done. So instead of having to go and ask for a dedicated team site and a special shared mailbox, they can provision all that automatically. Now, one of the big differences, I think, is the fact that Teams now allows you to work through a dedicated app, whether on your desktop or on your mobile device. So what that means is when you join a team, you can access all the resources, the files, the planner, everything quite easily and quickly using the app. So it means that you don't have to pop in and out and change to different browsers and do all that sort of stuff. So that's very handy, and also something that is what a lot of users have been looking for, just that single, simple environment where all my information is. Now, they don't have to worry about the structure. They don't have to worry about where the files actually live. They just get on with their job. So from a user's point of view, more power to them. Some of the other things that I've written about it recently is it's also changes the concept here when it comes to the way we work. So most people traditionally used to working in linear fashion, so working through their inbox from top to bottom, working through traditional F drives and map drives through folder structures. Now we live in a world where we work in parallel, so you'll be a member of multiple teams, multiple sources, multiple chats, all happening at the same time. So again, a very big change for a lot of people who are used to the traditional way of doing IT. So some big challenges there for people, but again, it is certainly being taken up quite readily by everybody I've presented to. They're very, very keen to get involved with Teams. They see it as the way of the future and how their organization is going to work these days. So if you hadn't had an opportunity, dive into Teams, have a look, get familiar with it, understand what it's doing, and again, have a think about how it can be applied to your organization.
Yes, for sure, definitely. All right. On the Azure side, take advantage of Azure's flexible compute directly from your R session. So users of R language often require more compute capacity than their local machines can handle. However, scaling up their work to take advantage of cloud capacity can be complex, troublesome, and can often distract R users from focusing on their algorithms. Microsoft have announced Do Azure Parallel, all one word. It's a lightweight R package built on top of Azure Batch that allows you to easily use Azure's flexible compute resources right from your R session. Do Azure Parallel complements Microsoft R Server by providing the infrastructure for running massive compute parallel simulations. It's a link to that on the show notes. So at its core, just quickly, it's the Do Azure Parallel package is a parallel backend for the wider popular for each package that lets you execute multiple processes across a cluster of Azure virtual machines. In just a few lines of code, the package helps you create and manage a cluster in Azure and register it as a parallel backend to be used with the for each package. To use the new Do Azure Parallel package, all you need is a batch account and a storage account set up in Azure, and that's it. So it's a fairly straightforward to get started. Put a link to that in my blog and also in the show notes as well.
All right, young Mark, have you dived into the wonderful world of machine learning at all?
Had a little bit of a play with it, but I sort of got in there and set up a few, tried to start setting up a few algorithms, tried to follow my nose and drag those pieces, bits and pieces into the designer area, but I didn't really get any further than that.
Okay, well, I found an interesting blog post here on the MSTM forum that will show you how to get started with Azure Machine Learning. We'll put it in the show notes and recommend that to people to have a look at. It's a nice, simple way. It gives you an overview, gives you the information you need to get started with machine learning. So the idea behind machine learning is basically to look at patterns, look at behaviors, and then predict what's going to happen from there. So if you've ever been to an online store and bought something, and then as you're checking out, it suggests additional purchases that other people like you have made, that's machine learning in the background. So there's lots and lots of options, lots and lots of opportunities to get into machine learning. It's very exciting, I think. So something that Azure does quite well and is quite accessible to anybody who has an Azure subscription. So we'll put that blog post that I found in there in the show notes so that you can get up and running nice and quickly with machine learning. The other thing I'll point out is that one of the advantages that Teams now also incorporates is the idea of bots. So we've heard about the bot framework. We've heard about all this stuff coming through bots, typically delivered to us from developers using Azure, but we're now seeing that surfaced in something like Teams. So what you do is you go and add a bot. So maybe you add a poll, or maybe you add a travel assistant. So all of those bots are available, and you can basically type in your request to the bot. The bot will come back with the best option. So if you're looking for accommodation somewhere or the cheapest flight, you basically get the bot on the job, and they come back with some great options for you. So a very good example, I think, of how the software, how this bot concept that we've heard a lot about and the machine learning is being put into effect and being surfaced into something like Teams. So I think this, again, this makes Teams even more practical and useful for users.
It uses Lewis, doesn't it, the bot? So Lewis, Lewis is like an acronym. It stands for Language Understanding Intelligence Service. So they talked about it at Ignite. They sort of had a part of the keynote. They were talking about the bots and how you can type in. They actually had a bot for Ignite where you can type in like different things, like questions. For example, when's Mark Keane going to be presenting it? Come back within a couple of seconds or a split second of an answer of all the sessions that I'm going to be presenting at. But it uses the Lewis, which is Language Understanding Intelligence Service, designed to provide you an easy way to create models. So it basically ties in with the bots and machine learning.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting because, again, you talk about here all of these bots and you see occasionally, but it really doesn't. To me, it didn't resonate. But putting it in Teams, putting it in the interface, then adding the bot. So one of the things I added was the travel bot or the travel assistant. Quite handy. So again, you can say, for example, look, I'm looking for the cheapest flight or the cheapest accommodation or over these periods. And again, it takes a second or two, comes back and gives you the options, you click on those and you can book directly. So again, they're adding more and more bots to Teams. So we've got polls, we've got things like conference room, we've got statistics, we've got all sorts of bots, and they're adding more and more every day. And one of the bots they have in there is called Azure Bot. So how to be more productive with Microsoft Azure subscriptions with natural language. So we expect to see these increase over time and also become more relevant to people. But it goes to show you that, I mean, how long have bots been around, or they've been talked about? Not that long. And now we're beginning to see them surface in services like Teams. We expect to see them in other areas. So imagine going to your email and you've got a trip, and then you can just highlight or click on something and it goes away and works out the best travel deal for you. So wasn't really sold on bots, but the more I start playing with Teams and
you just adding use cases for
to
it, basically.
My different channels, it's excellent. Yeah, exactly. I think it's a really, really good concept and potentially very, very time-saving.
Yeah, so let me just quickly finish off my Azure news. So what else have I got here? So new capabilities of HD Insight and Document DB. So in case you don't know, Azure HD Insight is the fully managed OSS analytics platform for running all open source analytics workloads at scale with enterprise-grade security and SLA. And Azure Document DB is a planet-scale, fully managed NoSQL database service since its general availability in 2015. Document DB is one of the fastest-growing services on Azure. There is now a new Spark connector for Document DB. It enables real-time data science and exploration over globally distributed data in Document DB, connecting Apache Spark to Azure's Document DB. It accelerates customers' ability to solve fast-moving data sciences problems where data can quickly be persisted and retrieved using Document DB. The Spark to Document DB connector efficiently exploits the native Document DB managed indexes and enables updatable columns when performing analytics and advanced analytics to data sciences against fast-changing global distributed data, ranging from IoT data to science and analytics scenarios. The Spark to Document DB connector uses the Azure Document DB Java SDK. So there's a little graphic here which I've put in on my blog site, and also a link to that in the show notes as well. And lastly, I'll just quickly round this off because this is the last bit of news I've got for Azure this time around. Announcing SQL Server CTP 1.4. So that stands for SQL Server Community Technology Preview 1.4. It'll be available, or I think it is available now, in both Windows and Linux. This preview offers the ability to schedule jobs using the SQL Server agent in SQL Server v.next on Linux. So they're making inroads with SQL on Linux since the announcement about a year ago, I think it was, or just under a year ago. So it's coming ahead in leaps and bounds, and we'll put a link to that as well in the show notes in my blog site.
Cool. All right. Well, like I said, most of the stuff around Office 365 is teams, and more teams. I've written a couple of blog posts about it, which will point people to have a bit of a think about the differences that will make in the workplace, and again, how you can go about being more productive, I think, in this new world when it comes to using something like Microsoft Teams. But the general feel is it's been very well accepted. A lot of people are very, very keen on it. It has been rolled out very, very quickly. And again, like I'm seeing very, very rapid adoption of the technology. So if you haven't looked at it, recommend you do. Lots of resources coming, but that's really what Office 365 is all about at this point in time.
So, yeah, well, speaking of ways to get started, because I mean, we all love ways you can get started. Like, for example, like with the machine learning link you're going to put in the show notes to get started with machine learning. That's a great thing. But also, to some events that are coming up are also a good way to get started. So just a quick plug out for the Azure Bootcamp, which happens yearly. It's a global Azure Bootcamp. It's coming to Sydney. They've announced a second iteration of it. So there's two in Sydney happening on the 22nd of April. They all happen at about the same time. So one's running, organized by Mick Badram. That one, I think, is signed out by memory. There's another second one that's been released in Sydney. So that happens on the same day at a different location because due to numbers, there's a massive demand for it. So there's two in Sydney happening 22nd of April. That's the Global Azure Bootcamp.
I assume you'll be going along to that.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get along to it. When is it? 22nd. So that's happening. It's happening very soon. It's actually 22nd of is that April. So we've got a little bit of time left. It's around about another month or so.
Okay. All right. Well, again, we'll sign up to that. We'll put the link in the show notes. And if you can, make sure you can get along, because lots of great information there for you as well. Lots of great sessions, I think, as well, to keep you up to date with the wonderful world of Azure. But really, do we have any more news, or should we wind up and get into other things?
Well, the other thing that popped up was another event. So it's Microsoft Data Amp. Have you heard of this before?
No, tell me more.
It's more of a focus on SQL Server. So that's happening on April 19. It's an online event. It's called Microsoft Data Amp. So it's inspired by you saying here, customers and partners, transforming applications and industry using data in innovative ways. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. But basically, it's Mitra Azizarad, I think that's the correct spelling, Corporate Vice President, Cloud Application Development and Data Marketing at Microsoft. She's put a blog site here on the SQL Server blog talking about this online event happening on April 19. It happens in the morning though, cool. So if you're up late, really late in Australia, or super, super early, whichever way, it kicks off in the morning at, what does it say here, 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, which will be pretty much while we're fast asleep, but if you're that way inclined. But I dare say there will be recordings for it sort of afterwards as well.
Okay, excellent. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, well, I think that we need to call the day and get on with what we need to with the rest of this podcast. Again, don't forget that you can contact us directly via a number of means. You can tweet is probably the good way to do it. So I'm at Director CIA, Mark.
And Twitter is at Mark Keane. So it's MarkKean.
All right. So again, we'll put all those links in the show notes. And we thank everybody for listening. Don't forget to share the love. Let people know about the podcast. Help us grow our numbers. Leave us a review on iTunes. But with that, I think we need to get into things.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.